You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Kane, what is the grin on your face right now? Tell me about this happy ending you had.
Whoa, which one? Which happy ending?
Congratulations. I want to start this show by congratulating you. Of course, we're talking about the Nets beatdown of the Sixers on national TV last week.
We were like texting each other too. And I think I had to step out in the second quarter or the beginning of the third quarter. I can't remember. But you're like, what? This is your family. This is, what else do you have to do? I'm like, yeah, I got meetings. I got lunch with family.
You had lunch with family. I was like, what family? The five members of your family is right here.
Right. Yeah, right on the court, on TV. What is it to say? To be honest, I don't think this was so much of a game about Ben Simmons because it doesn't count if you don't play. I know like the cameras love to make this the story. Oh, sorry. Like the media loved making this a storyline about Ben Simmons' return to Philadelphia, but he wasn't. Like at the end of the day, like when the basketball started, the focus wasn't about him. It was like a fun side story at that point, but it wasn't about him. This was about Kyrie Irving and James Harden, and they're probably fake, these reports, but you heard these rumors where in practice Kyrie Irving was just showing up James Harden, like proving he was the better player, like that KD chose correct. I think they're false. They're a little bit vicious in the way they were reported, that it was like in one-on-one, like Kyrie Irving was routinely shutting down James Harden, and James Harden was like so angry that Kyrie Irving was doing him like that, you know, it caused a rift between them. I think that's fake. It's fun, sensational news story exaggeration, but it's ultimately fake, I believe. But if there were any truth to that, you pretty much saw like what happened like in practice, what Kyrie Irving was doing to James Harden in practice on national TV. Harden went 0-for-10 for 2-point shots, I believe. Didn't hit a single layup, a single floater, not a single 2-point shot. He hit two nice step threes, like step back threes, which were vintage. But other than that, he was just terrible. Like what do you think? Well, let's start there. I reckon like James Harden, right? Like what do you reckon?
Let me start off by saying, in all seriousness, I am beginning to get concerned about Harden's hamstring. You saw in the third, fourth quarter, he was icing that. Now, I'm not sure if you saw it. You were around to see the third and fourth quarter. But while James Harden was on the bench in the third, down 35 points, he was icing his like hamstring again. Both teams were saying the right things after the game. Quote unquote right things. That is just one game. It's just one game, right? No, scratch that. Scratch that. This is not one game. There's no basketball fan, there's no basketball media, journalist, expert, commentator viewed this as just one game. Unquestionably, this was the most important game of this season from any team because of the drama, because of the awkward situation, because of the fact that this is James Harden's now, what, third move in 2 years or in 1 year, that this was more than just a game. And guess what? James Harden once again turned up small. He's too small, he's too fat, and he's missing a hamstring.
It's crazy how, you know, because I don't think they had lost a game since James Harden got traded. And I think the big part of, a lot of the media turning the, because a lot of people were saying, like, you know, Stephen A and I don't know, others, I can't remember everyone, but a lot of people saying the Nets won the trade because they got the younger player like for the future, and they don't have to pay the massive contract to James Harden down the road. But five games in, everyone was in love with the trade because, as it turns out, James Harden is basically the savior to Joel Embiid in terms of this is their chance to win a championship with James Harden and Joel Embiid, and like, I sort of believe it, like that this is their only real chance this season to win a championship. This is their best and biggest chance to do it. With James Harden, hopefully hamstring intact, with Joel Embiid playing MVP basketball, I still think it's the MVP, to be honest. And you know, I really do believe this is the best chance this season, but like James Harden has to play better. Like I think, because that, I guess that's why I disagree with you. I think it is just one game, because I think this can be a crucial turning point. Do the Sixers learn from this and learn to control their emotions and play better going forward with, you know, using James Harden's energy or not, like as a way that they can use it to play like with the momentum of basketball? Because you saw in the beginning, this team was so like ramped, like so fired up. Like the fans were like just frothing at the mouth, and they fed into their energy. As soon as they got kicked in the mouth, it was over. And I just assumed that they'll come back in some manner, like slowly, but they never did. And as soon as they just got kicked in the mouth and James Harden looked dejected and he just wanted to get off the court, he's like just throwing bad passes and giving the ball away to Bruce Brown. Like Bruce Brown's like, give me that. Bruce Brown just like grabbed it from his hands. It was like, give me that ball.
Oh my God, so embarrassing. James Harden couldn't wait to get to the bench and start icing his hamstrings. Just like put himself in that ice bucket. Why don't we just like get a tub near the bench?
Yeah, like this is not the best version of the Sixers. They can get better. And I don't think it's so much better like, oh, they got Danny Green didn't play this game. So if Danny Green plays this game, no, they'll be better. It's not about that. Like the Sixers get better because they will learn to control their emotions. They learn to play with one another and learn their weaknesses better. Joel Embiid dominated that game early on. It was so clear that the Nets' plan was to stop Joel Embiid. They double-teamed and triple-teamed him, fouled him, hacked him. It didn't matter. They didn't care if they took some free throws because they knew they were going to tie him out. And that's exactly what happened. I think Steve Nash probably did his best coaching job this season in that game. I don't know if he's capable of doing that regularly and just, you know, for any type of night, but that was a masterclass. That was probably the best coaching job I've ever seen, the way he utilized Bruce Brown in like sort of this like free safety role, like just rolling around, defending the best player. And the offense was so good. The offense was flowing around, passing the ball.
Oh, the defense.
Getting open shots. And the defense was just suffocating.
Steals. Fast breaks.
Yeah, like James Harden, we talk about him as being coming up small in big moments. But how about the other guy, Doc Rivers? Doc Rivers is the guy who's coming up small constantly in game sevens and whatnot. And he came up, it was this weird play, or not plays, but the defense was, they just let Kevin Durant score, basically. They just like, oh, Kevin Durant, score. Like, just, you know, you do your damage and we'll put Matisse Thybulle and Kyrie Irving and stop Kyrie Irving. But it didn't matter because Kyrie Irving was hot still after scoring his 50 burger the other night. It was just like this weird like drop back defense where they didn't guard the perimeter and they just let KD get open shots at the perimeter. I don't know. It wasn't good from Doc Rivers, I gotta say. And yeah, I think that fed into it. Fed into everyone being dejected and everything.
You're being very generous on the Sixers, Kane. This is, well, it's cute to say this is the they'll learn from this experience. Guess what? The time of learning is...
No, I'm saying they have to learn. I'm saying they have to learn if they have any chance, because this is the best chance this season to win. Like, as in, compared to other future years with James Harden and Joel Embiid. This is their best chance this season.
James Harden cannot learn. How many times does he have to shit the bed for us to know? He has a learning disability. This is not 2012. We've seen this play out again and again and again. You can argue he should have learned this at OKC when he like stunk up the finals. He didn't learn nothing. This has happened over and over again. He didn't learn from any of those times in Houston. And that's his rap. That's his reputation. So you think in going to this game, he'd be locked in. He'd be really locked in, aggressive. And he was anything but. He scored in the end like 3 for 17. That's generous. Guess what? Like one of those points, one of those scores, field goals, it was like when they're down like 35 and there's no pressure. When he needed to stop the bleeding, he did none of it. He did nothing. He was ramming into people thinking he was fouled, trying to draw cheap fouls. He wasn't being aggressive.
I think that's, yeah.
He was getting bullied.
I think that's the worst part of his game.
He was getting bullied by Kyrie Irving. He's like fucking like 50% heavier than Kyrie. Kyrie's like picking up. I'm serious. Kyrie's like 6 foot.
Kyrie's all mental toughness though. Kyrie's mental toughness in big games is unquestionable.
Kyrie was literally schooling James Harden. He was picking him up like as soon as James passed half court, like bodying him, chest out. Mm. Letting James feel him, feel his big, thick iron balls. Okay, James Harden was trying to make switches away from Kyrie Irving. James Harden should be able to muscle and bully Kyrie. Get James Harden the ball in the right place. He should be able to back down Kyrie. And none of that happened. Okay, he was being intimidated by Kyrie. And it doesn't help that Kyrie then is playing really well offensively and embarrassing you on the other end. And I'm now very convinced that James Harden, he's not the guy. I'm sorry. I mean, how many times does this guy have to show that he's a loser for us before we actually accept that this is who he is? Against the Knicks, hamstring strong. Against the Kings, Sacramento Kings, he's tough. Against pressure, no, he can't handle it. More alarming is the Sixers just didn't come out to play. Because I'm not talking about the performance of KD, excellent. I'm not talking performance of Kyrie, excellent. I'm talking about the performance that we saw from Seth Curry, from Andre Drummond. Mm. From Andre Drummond. Mm.
Who's your daddy now, Seth Curry?
Oh God, so bad. That was he was fucking true. He was staring at the bench after he was hitting those three.
Shot a three, just time out. It's like, oh, yep. Yep. What up?
poor Doc.
What up, guys? What up, Daddy?
That's so bad.
Just for everyone's reference, Seth Curry is Doc Rivers' son-in-law.
Oh, man.
Doc Rivers being the head coach of the Sixers, traded his actual son, Austin Rivers, a few years ago when he was the Clippers head coach. And then as the Sixers traded his son-in-law.
So if Andre Drummond can give you that type of effort and performance, why can't James Harden?
Yeah, I think it's fair to question James Harden's ability to win in these big moments. But for you to, and this is me being a pessimistic Nets fan and cynical Nets fan, but like for you to sort of put all this praise on all the Nets players, it's just like one of those perfect nights. Everyone's playing well. And everyone's feeling good. And it's just all rolling. Like, you can't just say, like, oh, you know, it was just a huge team effort. And they all just kind of fed on each other's good vibes and ended well. I think that's just exactly what the opposite happened to the Sixers. Everyone fed into James Harden's bad vibes. And they all sank collectively. You know, Tyrese Maxey, usually a pretty good shooter, couldn't buy a bucket. You know, Joel Embiid just kind of fell off the planet. Like, he was dominating the paint early on, and then he couldn't, like, and then just got too tired and just started hoisting up three-pointers in, like, the second quarter, I think. Doc Rivers didn't help. So, like, I think it was just, like, all this collective bad energy that made the Sixers worse and worse, and at the end of the day just, you know, lost big, like, 30 or 29 points.
Do you think that bad vibe is somehow going to go away? Do you see James Harden as purveyor of good vibes?
It depends. I mean, they got to keep winning. If they don't have an incredibly hard schedule to close things out, they could win, like, I don't know how many games they got left, like 10 games. They could win like 8 of the next 10 games and everything will be good going into the playoffs.
That's a perfect example of, you know, trying to give the benefit of doubt to the Sixers and making excuses for them. Guess what? They've been on a winning streak. They've been beating down on those lesser teams. And first test that they face against the Nets, they come up small.
The media loves saying, like, oh, like, the, you know, I've seen every single game so far of James Harden because I'm so curious. Mm-hmm. And people love to shit on the Sixers, saying like they've had a piss week, schedule when they've had James Harden because they've beaten the Wolves and the Knicks of the world. But like, then they beat the Cavs, then they beat the Heat, and then they beat the Bulls. It wasn't like a cakewalk schedule, you know what I mean? And the Knicks are hungry. I know they're shit, but like, still, they're hungry. And the Wolves are pretty good, like the decent, like the 8-2 in the last 10. So yeah, like a lot of people expected the 76ers to roll because the Nets are, you know, up and down. And the opposite happened. Like, no one expected the 76ers to get blown out at home. It just happened. Like, sometimes these games happen, and you can't predict them. They blew out the Bulls, and, you know, like, I'm down on the Bulls. So I was like, okay, that's expected. Like, the Sixers are way better than the Bulls. I feel like you're saying all this to jinx the Nets.
I'm really not. I feel like you've been a little shell shocked about your Nets. Okay, you're a little hesitant.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm more level headed, I think. I agree with you. I don't think the Nets. Okay, yeah, I agree with you. I do think the Nets do have a mental advantage over the Sixers, because I don't think James Harden is like razor sharp in playoff time, and Joel Embiid is fairly untested, as in, like, he hasn't really pushed the 76ers to promised land yet. Of course, you know, he's faced tough battles against the Raptors and the Bucks in recent years. But yeah, I don't think the Nets could beat the Heat or the Bucks. And it'll be a pretty tough series against the Bulls, to be honest. Like, but I think they could beat the Bulls. But the Heat and the Bucks, like, I'm not confident they could beat them in 8 games. I don't think they could beat the Raptors in a single game. And that's why I need the Raptors to continue winning to get to that six spot, so they avoid the playing game against it won't be against the Nets. Hopefully the Raptors will get the six spot, so it'll be the Nets and Cavaliers in that play-in game. But yeah, like, we'll see, because if the Sixers start losing, then they'll fall to the fourth or fifth seed. That could be direct Nets territory for the second round. And the Sixers, this is like sweet spot where teams don't want to be the first seed, because they don't want to verse the Heat doesn't want to verse the Nets. Like, even though I think the Heat have probably be a advantage, like a small advantage. I don't know. If this is with Kyrie. I'm assuming Kyrie, because without Kyrie, the Nets are probably losing. But let's say with Kyrie, he don't want to verse the Nets. The Bucks don't want to verse the Nets. You know, no one wants to get out of the first round. They want to kind of wait the time. So it's this kind of sweet spot where teams are probably trying to start to rest, to avoid like the first and the fourth seed. You want to be like the second, third seed, so you avoid the Nets altogether. It's interesting. Because the other thing is, like, you really don't know how much longer this mandate will last in New York. And if it stays as it currently is, Kyrie Irving is only available for the next 4 games out of the last 15 games. So 4 out of 15 games, he'll play. The other 11 games, he won't be there. He won't be suited up. So there's a very good chance that they go, I don't know, 5-10, you know, 6-9, right? Drop 3 games, it'll be like 3 games under 500. That's not good. They might drop to the 9th seed. So I guess I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but yeah, I think teams are both like jockeying for position to avoid the Nets, but at the same time, they could very well beat the Nets at their full strength if all the guys are healthy and Nets don't have Kyrie Irving.
What you're saying is you're trying to hedge your emotions right now. You don't want to overcommit yourself because you've been hurt before, and I understand that. And it's not a bad strategy. It's a good approach. From a more objective, if not a little bit emotional, I'm a little bit emotional when it comes to James Harden. But, you know, I've just seen enough of this, man. And, you know, you bring up Embiid and how he's dominated in the first half. Like, what good did that do? Like, what good is it to get fouled, to go to the line and shoot like 20-something free throws? It's not Bruce Brown fouling him, okay? You've got, like, Andre Drummond. You will be getting LaMarcus Aldridge fouling you. These are big guys, and they're not going to be cheap fouls. You're going to get real fouls. It's tiring. And I do think it's a little bit alarming that, you know, they did lose Seth Curry. And I think Andre Drummond was a reasonable backup for them, right? And losing that depth, I think, is problematic. Okay, Andre Drummond, first of all, he has no touch at all. Like, when he touches the ball and tries to, like, you know, do putbacks or, like, take a shot, it just looks like he's, like, chucking the
thing. He thinks he's, like, throwing a 60-yard pass or something.
Exactly. He's got absolutely no touch. He thinks
he's, like, throwing a Hail Mary.
The difference is that he's actually a big guy. He's a big, strong guy. And he's got six fouls.
He's 28.
He's 28 years old. And if he's playing encouraged and he's playing with motivation, I think he's going to give you really good minutes against someone like Embiid. And you saw that. Unless James Harden is scoring 30 points every playoff game, you're going to be at a disadvantage because you've lost that depth. I'm not sure how much you can count on Tobias. I like Tobias, okay? I like Tobias a lot.
I'm off. I've been texting you. I'm so off Tobias Harris. He has not played well at all. And I was never like a huge fan of him before. He was like kind of hot and cold. Like he was never consistent, even in his Clippers days. In Pistons days when he like made the All-Star. I always thought he was very inconsistent. It's probably what people think of D'Angelo Russell, like if they're not Nets fans or Russell fans. Like that's like probably the perfect example. And they have the same contract as well, the max contract, where he shows up some games and you're like, whoa, look at what he can do. And then most games he's like, okay, like this guy just scored 13 points on 26 shots. Like what's with this guy? Obviously, Tobias Harris doesn't get that volume anymore, so he's not producing. He has to learn how to play off ball and shoot it when he gets it. And that's not what made him the max contract player, basically. He's not like a 3-and-D guy. That's what they're trying to like position him as, because he doesn't need to carry the ball up anymore, and he doesn't need to be the primary scorer anymore. So he has to kind of like fill up all these gaps. Plus, they're expecting him to play more defense. But he's always been a bad defender, and he's not that great of a spot up shooter. So he's just like a terrible fit right now. And that's why I was saying like to you, like let's see, like maybe there could be just some desperate deal where Beal is like, I want out. I want to join the Sixers. And I was like, okay, we'll give you Harris, and we'll give you Maxi, and we'll give you some draft picks, and we'll get Beal, something like that. I don't think that's a good deal, but it's just that's the thing that the Sixers have to do if they want to continue to stay relevant, because they can't rely on James Harden and his ailing hamstring to get better. They need to continually, you know, go for broke for this window. This is like whenever you're going to get a player like Joel Embiid, you know, how long is Joel Embiid going to be as good as he is? How good is James Harden going to be as good as he is? It's just you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Look, I think we're definitely in agreement. It's just a degree of our confidence in the Sixers and the Nets. I think you're probably taking the more pragmatic approach of
more pragmatic. Yeah,
not being overly committed based on this one game.
Yeah, that's fair.
For me, you know, I've seen enough. This is a statement game. You know, there's only a handful of statement games. This was the statement game of this season. And if you can't perform on this stage like this, you know, you had the 76ers fans booing their team in the third quarter.
They were booing Ben Simmons, and then like
turned
on the home team. Ben Simmons was like, "Oh, he's still booing me," and like they're like chanting MVP. Like also MVP, but also going to Joel Embiid, and at the end of the game, they were chanting MVP for Kevin Durant.
Okay, Kane. We've talked a lot about the Nets. Any final thoughts before we move on to the next topic?
No, I mean, yeah, like throughout every single national game featuring the Nets, they always talk about, okay, what's the update? with the mandate. And the latest update, and maybe I said this last week, but the latest update is the city is removing masks. It's not compulsory to wear masks anymore indoor arenas. And if you're unvaccinated, you don't have to show proof of vaccination in indoor arenas. So that means, you know, a Kyrie Irving can enter Barclays Arena, but not as a player. He can only sit there and maskless, unvaccinated. He's unvaccinated, by the way, just in case anyone is living under a rock. He's unvaccinated and he doesn't have to wear a mask and he can be indoors at Barclays and watch his team play. But he can't participate. He can't be part of the game itself. He can't play on the court, but he can sit literally a meter away on the bench and cheer his team and share his unvaccinated germs with the rest of his teammates that he does regularly in practice anyway. So that's the latest with the mandate in New York. And I mean, the other thing is the mayor has routinely talked about how it's unfair. He's like, he even said like it's an unfair rule that he didn't come up with. Like this was a previous mandate that preceded him. And that, yeah, he's looking to change it, but he needs to do what's right, apparently, by the other 4,000 other city workers and unvaccinated people that, you know, were similarly mistreated with this. I don't know if that's a strong word, but you know what I mean? Like, Boston apparently has an exemption for athletes. They have a similar thing in Boston, but it doesn't apply to athletes. So Josh Richardson, who's unvaccinated, can play. Even though he's unvaccinated. But New York doesn't have that same rule. It applies to everybody that's unvaccinated. It doesn't matter if you're Kyrie Irving or a nurse, which I think is fair. I think that's a good rule, but you gotta be real about it. You can't.
I mean, it's a good rule. I support being...
It's a good rule. I support it too.
A hard line on it. But now that I've seen the Sixers game, I know I need Kyrie in Barclays. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes you got to give people what they want. You know, you got to give people some color in their life, some spice.
And it's to give exceptions to athletes.
Yes. Like, yes, that's what I want to say.
They're there to entertain us. You know, they're not there to... you know, remind us about lockdown because you have to watch, if Kevin Durant's injured, you have to watch the Bruce Brown-led Nets. You know, you don't want to turn on the Brooklyn Nets and be reminded like, oh, that's right. We don't have the three best players on the team because of whatever, including coronavirus. You want to watch the Nets and you want to be like, wow, like, oh, I wish I could be a Barclays. Like, I wish I could see them. Like, oh man, like such a good team. I think it's okay to... I mean, he's already practicing with his teammates.
He's already practicing.
They haven't caught it by now. It's,
yeah.
It's probably not a huge risk, you know, that him as an unvaccinated person spreads coronavirus to his teammates who already have it. Like, they've already had it at this point.
Yeah, because Kyrie's on their team.
How much they travel and...
Jesus. It's like fucking burning shit, burning his coronavirus around and spreading it in like vapor droplets. Right. Okay, so we'll see what Kyrie is. His next step would be the mayor probably allows him to be on the court, but he can't like shoot. So he just runs up and down. But actually, this is a serious question.
AD style.
This is actually a serious question. Because I'm getting excited for this Nets team now. Again, one game, they sucked for like months and months. I was getting very frustrated. I'm now energized again.
I mean, they were good for months and then they sucked for 2 months with KD. KD was out for 2 months, so they sucked when KD was out.
Let's switch to my team, LeBron and the Lakers, who I don't even know if they're going to make into the play-in tournament. And LeBron's been playing really well. He's had multiple 50-point games. Take this serious, Kane, please.
We should rename this podcast the Nets and the LeBron podcast.
You wrote in the notes, is LeBron the most improved player? This has been insulting. But I think at this point, LeBron has given up on the season. He's just playing to score points at this point.
He's playing to be the leading point, the leading point person.
I think he can pass Karl Malone for second place this season. And I think that's
the goal.
Yeah,
this season.
This season.
Oh, okay.
To be honest, I don't even want to see the Lakers in the play-in tournament or the playoffs. I feel like it's just too much wear and tear on LeBron for no good reason.
They're unlikely to miss the play-in tournament because they're a good three games over the Blazers, and the Blazers have checked out at this point. There's no way the Blazers are catching up.
But just maybe just lose in the play-in tournament. I'd be okay with that.
I mean, the other thing is they're versing the Pelicans.
Oh boy.
The Pelicans own the Lakers draft pick.
Okay, maybe get into the playoffs and then get swept.
Who knows? AD came out with there's a report out. AD said he should be healthy by playoff time.
Good.
I don't know what healthy means, but
it means that he'll be able to play like two or three games before he like posts another something.
It's always around LeBron. That's the thing, though. LeBron's always the one causing the injuries. I think that means something. I think like AD is like, just give me my space. Just get out my space. Let me operate.
Yeah, no. Stay away from me. Don't touch me.
Stay away from me.
Pat said to Westbrook. I want to get it from Westbrook.
I'll start on the bench. I'll take what Russell's spot was supposed to be. I'll come off the bench and I'll sub you off, LeBron. I think you're right though. Yeah, because he is 100 points away from Karl Malone. Yeah, so he should pass Karl Malone easily.
Yeah, he should pass it, especially if he's scoring like 50 points a game.
Within the next five games max, he'll pass Karl Malone.
So while LeBron is scoring 50 points, Russell Westbrook is scoring 2 out of 10, 2 out of 12. My question for you is, why is he like this?
You tell me, man. You've been watching more Lakers games.
I thought he was going to be good for this team. It feels like he's forgotten how to play basketball.
He's played better recently, I gotta say. He's become more switched on defensively last few games, which I think has really helped. And I think like with LeBron clearly focusing on scoring in recent games, like multiple 50-point games, it looks like this team feels more rejuvenated to kind of get him there. And they're happy to do that for him. Like Carmelo Anthony is doing his thing, just jogging to the three-point line. But ultimately, he's not like taking, like he's just there. He's just decoy. He's letting LeBron do his thing. And LeBron's like not going to pass it to him. He's not going to pass it to Russell. He's not going to pass. The only person he passes it to is like Austin Reeves. Apparently. He trusts Austin Reeves the most for some reason. He does like pick and rolls with Austin Reeves. It's like you imagine like back like 15 years ago, you just dream like, oh, what if there was a pick and roll with Carmelo and LeBron? Like that would be the most devastating duo in history. If like Melo and LeBron, in my opinion, like Dwayne Wade and LeBron were awesome, but I always thought Melo was, a better player, like straight up, like in that time, like when he first joined Wade, I thought Melo was the better player out of those two. Obviously that didn't pay off. He kind of quickly tailed off after that. And, you know, Wade obviously is, you know, above it, but I just thought like, yeah, like I just always thought like, oh, you know, Melo's, anyway, that's not the point. LeBron's just hogging the ball. He's just scoring it. And I think Russell is playing better defensively. So,
Well, he might be playing better defensively, but he's shooting 2 for 10. I mean, maybe that was a good defensive game, but at this point, like it feels like Russell has like just lost his ability to shoot free throws, to not turn the ball over.
I guess what I'm saying is like, it's like a given that he can't score, you know?
Oh yeah, in the last game that the Lakers won, they benched Westbrook again with like the last 8 minutes. So the games that they are winning down the stretch that are tight, they just bench him, right?
Mm.
Because he's useless. Mm-mm. He's recently come out and said that, you know, he doesn't like the fact that he's being singled out by the fans. He doesn't like the, you know, Westbrook name, which is, again, that's not even offensive. I'm surprised they're not calling him worse.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good, like, bad nickname.
And I feel like this guy is like, what the fuck's wrong with him? Like, is he delusional? Are you really wondering why the fans are criticizing you and blaming you? Like, look at your season. Like, do you not see that you're a piece of shit? That they could have had... Do you not see what DeMar DeRozan is doing? Like, it feels like he's in, see, where is he? He's in La La Land. He is literally in La La Land.
Like, okay, so I'm just going to get to this. So I was very, very down on Magic appearing on national TV. He's been in hiding. I'll be honest. He's been doing his little, like, holidays out in Europe and living it up and, you know, just loving life and just doing everything and, like, occasionally tweeting about the basketball and other alphabetical lists that he like, pops into his little head. He's been enjoying life, though. But he finally decided to come on TV. He finally decided to join the ESPN broadcast. And the first thing he does when he finally joins the national game, nationally televised game, is to call out Russ. He's talking about the Lakers. The Lakers behind them in doing warm-up drills, doing the layup line. And he singles out Russ. He calls out Russ as the reason why they're doing so badly and, like, Russ has to do better. And I thought that was super harsh. I mean, as a fan, you have no cachet. As a fan, you have your opinion. You have your right to criticize Russell Westbrook. But Magic Johnson isn't a normal fan, nor does he have normal sway either. He has massive influence, not just on the Lakers fans that, like, listen to his every word, think he's, like, some kind of messiah, but he apparently has massive influence on Jeannie Buss and making, like, executive decisions on team decisions and stuff like that. So with him saying that, it doesn't help the player, obviously. It doesn't help him. And also, I think it's just really irresponsible that he would single him out when there's so many other cast of characters that should be to blame, including the person that backstabbed him, Pelinka. That's probably one person that you should really can blame, because, yes, LeBron pulled the trigger ultimately. LeBron orchestrated getting Russell Westbrook in LA, but who pulled the trigger? It was Pelinka. It was Pelinka that has to own the move at the end of the day. It's AD. AD can't stay healthy, can't help this team. This isn't a team that would be 9th seed if AD was playing. That's just obvious. AD is a top 5 player when he's healthy, and it would help this team immensely. And maybe Russell Westbrook doesn't look as bad. Maybe he's not dependent to be the second fiddle on this team. He's not even the second fiddle. It's probably Malik Monk or Austin Reeves, to be honest. But it means LeBron has to do everything, because Russell Westbrook is useless, as you've been saying. But, like, just kind of, like, single him out and, like, pile on all the disaster that's been heaped upon the Lakers this season, I think it was just poor. And it just, once again, it highlights. I kind of forgot about him because he hasn't been in the limelight. He hasn't been on TV. He hasn't said a stupid thing. He hasn't posted an extremely insensitive tweet in a while. So I was like, yeah, just, you know, Magic, just enjoy your life. You know, there's a documentary about you coming up soon. I'm excited to start watching on HBO. You know, like, just enjoy your life. Just fade out of consciousness. But it was like, I don't know. He was on NBA 75. He was invited to All-Star Weekend. He was all jazzed to be, like, he wanted to be relevant again. He's like, oh, like, I'm one of the best Lakers of all time. And he is, but he comes with this attitude that he thinks he knows better, and he thinks he can say he's above it all, and he can say whatever he wants. And he can't. Like, it ruins people's lives, and it clearly has, because I think Russell always knew he was being nicknamed this, had this nickname, because of all the teams that he got traded from, and they called him out. Like, they've been calling him, I'm sure that's been his nickname for, like, a decade now, and he's heard it. But why is he all sensitive now? It's because I think he doesn't have the backing from his teammates. He doesn't have backing from his fans. He doesn't have backing, like, in LA, in his home stadium, he doesn't have the backing. And he just feels like he's, he's been singled out.
Look, I think you made some good points. Generally, I agree with you.
Some of Magic just really gets under my skin, honestly. Like, I wish I was born in the 80s just to...
I'm not really sure why.
I wish I was born in the 70s just to watch Magic so I could, like, see how great he was at basketball, because I don't think... I don't disagree that he is probably one of the greatest players of all time. He's probably, like, the top 10 player of all time, I assume. But since then, since his playing career has been over, I think this has been, he's just failed at everything he's ever attempted. That makes me think he's a loser. Like, he was only ever good for, the only thing he was ever good for was playing. And everything else he failed, like he failed at acting, he failed at coaching, he failed at sex, couldn't even like protect himself.
I knew it. You could have let that go. You just had to reach for that.
He failed.
Do you have a drawer at home?
Well, I mean,
do you have a drawer at home that you label like Magic Johnson HIV jokes? You reach for that drawer every time. No locks on that drawer.
I put it away. I put a lock on it. I'm about to archive it and everything. And then he has to come out again and says has to say a stupid thing. And it's at the detriment of another human being. He's not saying it like about the team in general that doesn't have like, you know, like the team itself is just a random arbitrary thing in reality, right? They're just colors in a brand. It doesn't mean anything. You can attack the brand. You are the brand, so it doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want for that. But when you single out a single person, that's personal. That's like you're attacking someone's personal thing. And then all the fans and probably his teammates are also kind of like, not like his teammates aren't, but like all the fans are also attacking him. And now he feels like it's even more personal. And he doesn't feel like LA, which is his hometown, doesn't love him anymore. I just feel bad for him. Because, like, you know, people love to hate on him. I know you blame him the most. And I think he deserves a lot of blame. But then, like, look at AD, look at Pelinka, look at LeBron James. Like, don't these guys deserve a slice of that blame?
Kane, I'm not going to disagree with you because I feel these are really good points. And it reminds me of what Magic said. You know, now that I think about it, I know where this stems from. It's because that Magic disrespected D'Angelo Russell, that you harbor this deep resentment towards Magic. That is true. But you're not wrong. Yes. Importantly,
that's smugness.
But I want to emphasize that you're not wrong, because just like when he was, it's probably worse that he criticized D'Angelo just because D'Angelo was a young player. But like you said, Magic, despite the fact that he's failed in everything other than basketball, for whatever reason, and you know, I'm a victim of this. I love Magic. He has a lot of sway in the league. And when a legend like Magic, it could be, just imagine if it's not Magic, it's Michael Jordan, or someone of that caliber came in, out and said, this person is not a leader, this person doesn't have it. That has a lot of power behind those words. It's not a Stephen A. Smith, it's not a commentator, it's not a podcaster like us who's just like, you know, for entertainment, we're just like shooting the shit. Our opinions don't really matter. This is entertainment. But for someone like Magic that people look up to, for whatever reason,
And he's affiliated with the Lakers. It doesn't matter.
And he is Mr. Lakers.
He's always going to be affiliated with the Lakers.
When he says something like that, he can really impact you, your career. And, you know, Russell is at the end of his, near the end of his career. But when he said it about D'Angelo, you know, D'Angelo was still a very young player at that time. I do agree that it's not his place to say it. It's the same reason why, you know, we don't hear the owners coming out and saying, criticizing their players specifically. Even if they feel that way, no one ever comes out directly and attacks a player, right? And said that they're no good, they're not a winner. You just don't hear it. And there's your reason for that. There's no need.
And also Russell, as much as like, you know, Russell's not at the same level as Magic, they did share the same platform on the like at All-Star Weekend. They are one of the best players of all time, like all considering, you know, all the players that have played in the NBA. And he's kind of attacking a colleague at, you know, because in a few years' time, you know, Russell, in a decade, Russell will be a Hall of Famer as well, obviously. And it's just like, remember that time Magic attacked Russell Westbrook?
They should invite Magic to introduce him.
It's not even the same decade, not even the same playing time. It's just like went out his way to attack Russell Westbrook. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, okay, Kane. We're nearing the end of our show. I think the last thing we should talk about is congratulate Pop for being now the winningest coach of all time.
What's your favorite Pop memory? Like, not specifically him as a person, but just like that that iconic moment as a, like, spur moment.
Probably when he said that Kawhi Leonard was not a leader.
This is Kawhi's fault.
It's Kawhi's
fault. Why did you step on his foot?
No, Pop is great. Look, I don't have a specific moment. I just feel like Pop has always been in sort of my basketball life. And not only that,
you can't yeah.
He's always been at the top.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that, yeah.
And even when his team is not making the playoffs, or probably isn't going to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah.
I still feel like he's at the top of his game for some reason, which is strange.
Mm. I think the sad thing, like, for me about Pop, I mean, it's great, like, that he passed this record and he deserves it because he's been so good for so long. But I think the thing that saddens me is that he probably had so much, like, Tim Duncan and him were, like, perfect for each other. Like, the brand of basketball Popovich loves to play is all about the big fundamental, which is Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan and Popovich were just perfect marriage. And I think he misses that. I think he misses that type of play in the league, because a lot of the players in the league are very flashy, are very, you know, all about getting theirs. And Tim Duncan, Ginobili, and Tony Parker were not about that. That type of basketball ethos is lost nowadays, I think. And I don't say that as like, the basketball is so much better than all day. But that team was so unique. Like, that team was so selfless. And it just was a test, because they just bring any random player, it just seemingly any random player into the system, and Popovich will make them into a somewhat like, good player. Like, he'll turn average players into good players just by integrating them into the system and teaching them the Spurs way. Like, just think about all the random, like, did day one Blair. How random was that? Like, how random was Kawhi Leonard when he first joined this team? Yeah, exactly. Kawhi Leonard. How random was he? Patty Mills, you know?
Mid first round pick. He was like 14th or 15th.
Well, was it like a trade? Was like the Pacers or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like a forgotten trade that he got, and he couldn't shoot. Kawhi Leonard couldn't shoot. Same as DeJuan Blair couldn't shoot. I remember those guys couldn't shoot, but they learned to be like pivotal members of championship teams. Patty Mills, another champion that is very, you know, what is he? Six feet one, and he's becoming like one of the best 3-point shooters in recent history. Not now, but yeah, back then he was like a very good 3-point shooter.
So I think Pop is special. I don't know how long he's going to continue to coach for. That team doesn't seem to... It seems to be a rebuilding project at this point.
There's no play. Like, DeJounte Murray is good, but I don't know.
Do you see Pop going to another team to get a championship? I don't know.
No, I don't see it. I feel like he should retire, because, like I said, Tim Duncan's retired, and I just thought that was a perfect marriage. And it kind of like makes me sad that Tim Duncan's not in the league anymore, and Pop is still kind of trying to find Tim Duncan, but he never will, because that was just basketball perfection for so many reasons, for so many ways, so many championships.
I thought he found in Kawhi just because Kawhi came up in through their system, but
Kawhi was selfish.
Kawhi is kind of strange, right? We now know that strange. Kawhi is odd. It's very odd.
Like, do we know if Kawhi is even going to thank Popovich in his Hall of Fame speech?
I don't know. That'd be so weird if he didn't. Yeah, but I wouldn't.
How
be
much
surprised.
He like kind of attacked the coaching staff of the Spurs.
Man, it's just some weird shit. Yeah,
like, it's sad. You're right. It's sad. He's the Finals MVP for the Spurs, but at the end of the day, he didn't get along with Pop, I guess.
Who knows about Kawhi? I mean, even in the Clippers, he's kind of a strange player in the sense that that team is just like beholden to his like demands, right? He like lives in San Diego and he just like flies in.
Because that's the best player that the Clippers have ever had.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi is a difference maker, of course.
He single-handedly won it for Toronto,
Kane, we're at the end of another show.
Oh, by the way, you know Zion's back in New Orleans?
I think. Look, let's not talk about Zion.
It looks like there's weight-bearing exercises.
Don't get me started. Off. Don't get me started.
Because he's now sitting down.
Look, let's be respectful. Let's give at least an impression that we have somewhat of a professional podcast.
It's like my favorite thing. It's probably like
look, without making fun of Zion, it's just such a like ridiculous and sad situation. Not because he's injured. If he's injured, fine. Like, tell us he's injured. But just the charade and the gamesmanship that's being played by the organization to try to tell us that he's going to be ready for game one of the regular season. And literally, we're like the last week or two left in the regular season.
I mean, the crazy thing is they're finally going to make the playoffs after all of these playoff reformations. Finally, they're going to make the play-in tournament, like some type of postseason tournament without their franchise player. That's the ironic thing. And Brandon Ingram has also been sidelined because of some injury.
Oh, really?
So this team is in shambles, but it's just like who's a bigger fuck up, like the Pelicans or the Lakers? Because they're in the same boat. if they beat the Lakers, they get their draft pick.
It's the Pelicans, right? Because the Lakers, at the end of the day, they still have AD, they still have LeBron, and they're still in LA, so they can always remake their roster. They can just not sign anyone. They can just like keep LeBron, AD, and then basically blow up the entire roster, whereas the Pelicans can't do that.
Yeah, I meant this season. Oh. I just meant this for this season. You're right, obviously. The Pelicans in a dark place, and Zion is nowhere near the savior. He doesn't want to be the savior. Yeah, he doesn't want to be there.
I think the solution really is just to move the team. Like, God, why doesn't Seattle have a team? Like, why do we have a team in New York?
Zion, where do you want to go?
He's going to New York.
I want to go to New York. Okay, fine. We're the New York Pelicans.
New York Pelicans.
Done. No, that's not what I meant.
You mean they literally just to change the team's name to New York Pelicans, but stay in like New Orleans?
Done. We're changed. We're changed for you, Zion.
Kane, any last final thoughts for our listeners?
4 weeks left to the season. A lot of exciting basketball. To be honest, that's the biggest thing I'm excited for. It's Kyrie coming back. It doesn't look like Ben Simmons coming back anytime soon. So, yeah, Kyrie's got to come back soon because we need him. We need him. Kevin Durant needs him. The city of Brooklyn needs him. I need him. For all his faults, he is proven right every single time. Like I said last time, I'm pretty sure the earth is flat at this point. Like, Kyrie has never been wrong at this point. Never. Everything he's ever stood for, he's been right. It seems like so.
I agree with you. We need Kyrie back.
I mean, look, are you standing on is the ground around you curved at the moment? Huh?
I don't know anymore.
Huh? It's flat. The ground is flat.
Sometimes I get depressed thinking about just how good Kyrie is, yet he is so retarded. Just like, in other words, how incredibly gifted this person is, right? Because outside of basketball, you would think that this person, it's just mentally retarded in every way, right?
Might just be homeless.
Exactly. He has no intellectual qualities at all. He's delusional. But yet, in this one thing, in this one very important thing, and not just like some random skill, this is obviously special skill. Like, basketball is a set of special
very
skills.
Very lucrative skill.
Lucrative skill. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, we've all played basketball. We know how hard it is. I can't dribble properly. I can't shoot properly. Like, it's not trivial, in other words.
This guy is out for months. And he just picks up the basketball and he's scoring 50 on people. 50 on people like playing, practicing every single day, playing games every other day.
Exactly. So this person is special. And I give you this. This is special. This is special.
Very special.
Especially when he's engaged. I can't believe like this is turning out to be like a Kyrie love fest. But you know, the fact that he defended James Harden so well just tells me when he's locked in to those high high leverage moments, this guy, he's an all-timer. He's that good.
This just remember that time you said like, okay, we know Kyrie's not that special. Do you remember you said that? Like, I don't know, maybe a year ago, you're like, okay, we know Kyrie's not that special. Do you remember this? Do you remember saying that?
I don't remember.
I remember.
Okay. Okay.
I remember.
You're like,
it stuck with
you're
me.
Like, put it in your diary.
All this time.
It's like, you put, dear diary.
December 2019.
Dear diary.
David slighted Kyrie Irving.
Dear diary. Oh, tears. Cried all day. David made fun of Kyrie. Said he was not special.
David made fun of my favorite player.
My lover.
You say, okay. He said, like, oh, the jury's out. It's not that special. I'm like thinking, like, what have you been watching?
He's making me eat my words. That's all I have to say. And like you said, it's especially commendable the fact that he hasn't really, you know, his fault that he hasn't played, but just the fact that he can be out of the game, not playing for just in and out of the lineup.
That's the fucked up thing. It's entirely his fault. We all know that. It's entirely his fault and it's entirely avoidable. And then we have to come around and defend it. Like, who cares if he's unvaccinated? He has to play, goddammit.
So anyway.
Doesn't matter if he's unvaccinated.
You know, I can't wait for the playoffs. I feel like, you know, and I hope Kyrie's back because with Kyrie, the game's just better, you know, despite all the frustrations that he brings during the regular season. We know that when he's engaged, when he's playing well, it's just a better game. It's a better product. It's more exciting. It's just better overall.
Aye.
So anyways, dear listeners,
well said.
Please stay safe, stay engaged. You know, the people of the world, Eastern Europe, please
continue listening.
Continue listening. Try to find
just
somewhere safe.
Stay sane. Listen to our sage words, obviously, in this time of trouble. Hopefully we give you some type of brevity in your otherwise desperate situation. Hopefully it gets resolved soon.
We're not sanctioning any of our listeners. All listeners welcome.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe mainland. They can fuck off.
Oh boy. Okay. I want you to calm down, Kane. I want you to now, I want you to push in that drawer, remove that label that says China. Just remove that label. Throw away the contents of that drawer. Yeah, you'll be much happier in your life. Okay, please. Thank you.
just ignorance is bliss, right?
Okay, listeners, just ignore what Kane was saying there at the end. Thank you, and we'll see you again next week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.